I wonder if there's a garden that's special to you. I love gardens and plants, and I think that's because I grew up in a magical garden in San Diego. My dad loves plants, and he used to trade plants with the nursery owner around the corner. So we didn't just have ordinary roses in our garden, although there's nothing ordinary about roses, but we had a monkey hand tree from Mexico. We had kumquat and loquat trees from China, as well as a Chinese fringe tree. We had hibiscus from Hawaii, a bottlebrush bush from Australia, and then just tons of other kinds of trees, which I'm afraid I just took for granted. Macadamia nut, kumquat, loquat, plum, apple, tangelo. Just, it was incredible. And all these trees were surrounded by avocado trees. And I'm just about sick to my stomach that I didn't like avocados when I was younger because they just fell to the ground and our dogs ate them. And our dogs were fat. And they had beautiful coats of fur from all that avocado oil. But I didn't eat avocados at that time. And where we lived, it used to be an avocado orchard. I spent hours in that yard, and it seemed so big, although now I go back and it doesn't seem so big anymore, but I climbed avocado trees and made forts with my sister in the back. I also took my Barbies camping. I had a Barbie camper, and I'd take them out. And I also liked matchbox cars, and I'd fly them off jumps. I also enjoyed pelting the Tolchin boys with kumquats and loquats when they were visiting us. There was a large gang of kids in my neighborhood, and we ran wild because in San Diego you can be outside year-round. In the summers, we'd play outside until dinner. We'd be in my yard, the bottom of the street, or in the canyon behind the Hughes' home. One of the parents, Mr. Jones, took us roller skating every Friday night in his camper. And then he also organized these neighborhood camping trips. One time we went down to Baja, Mexico together, the whole neighborhood. If you can imagine that, to go camping and clamming. We were close, and everything seemed pretty idyllic until I noticed how much the adults drank when they got together. When they drank, their eyes developed a strange, glazed-over look, and they sometimes did things that troubled me. One time, I saw Mr. Jones do something that bothered me deeply. I knew it was wrong, but I wasn't sure why. I didn't know what to do other than to stay as far away from him and the other adults who were drinking heavily as possible. Today is the first Sunday in Lent, and our scripture readings talk about the reality of temptation and sin. Our Genesis reading, like my early childhood, takes place in a garden. Life in that garden called Eden was idyllic. The man and woman in it could eat from every tree but one. The man's job was to till and keep the garden. Not a bad vocation. A serpent then appears. Down through history, the serpent has been portrayed as the devil or evil incarnate, but all this passage says is that the serpent was crafty. The serpent asks the woman a question to get her interested in the one tree from which she and the man cannot eat. The serpent counters what God has said with a lie. He tells the woman that if she eats from the forbidden tree, her eyes will be opened, and she will be like God, knowing good and evil. The woman found the tree attractive, and she did want to be wise. So she ate from the fruit of the tree and gave some to her husband. Only then did the man and woman realize they were naked. Their innocence had disappeared. In this story, like so many other stories in our lives, society, and world, sin or separation from God happens when good motives go awry, or when things which are in themselves good are used for wrong or hurtful purposes. Take the story of the forbidden fruit. Trees are good, fruit is good, and there were a lot of trees with delightful fruit in Eden available for the taking. But the woman wanted to eat from the one tree God told her not to eat from. I wonder if you've ever wanted to do something that was forbidden. The moment someone says don't, or you can't have this one thing, you want it. If your mom says you can't play a particular video game, you wait until she's not home and you play it. If your parents say you can't hang out with or date this one person, suddenly they become attractive to you. Pushing boundaries is part of the human condition, as is good motives gone awry, or using good things for hurtful purposes. Money is not bad in itself, nor is almost anything else. But how you get that money and how you use it speaks volumes about your priorities and what you believe. Relationships are good, but when one person fails to see the other's God-given dignity or makes the other person feel unsafe, or like they're responsible for their happiness, something is wrong. Gardens, just like the desert into which the Spirit led Jesus, are a gift from God. They are the places where many of us experience God's presence and magnificence. Unfortunately, these places and other outdoor spaces that are special to many of us, spiritual touchstones from the Cascades in the Pacific Northwest to the North Shore, the Grand Canyon, Victoria Falls, to the Mediterranean Ocean, and all the creatures in them, are threatened by behaviors and choices that, once good, have gone too far. Take, for example, Henry Ford's Model T car. Wow, what an invention. It enabled people to travel longer distances more easily, shrinking their understanding of time and space. The addition of trains, planes, and billions more automobiles enabled people to live all over the world and gain familiarity with a plethora of other peoples and cultures. You could escape the confines of your family and village and live practically anywhere if you had the means to get there. But now we find ourselves living all over the world, many of us away from our biological families, and needing to travel frequently by modes of transportation that pollute our air and deplete the ozone layer at alarming rates. And I'm not pointing the finger here. I'm part of the problem. Industrialization and capitalism have created jobs and lifted untold numbers of people out of poverty. The dark side is a consumer culture creating artificial wants to sell more products, overly full landfills, endless pollution, and toxic chemicals dumped in water supplies. Once again, things that are good in themselves can cause great harm to our planet and its inhabitants when taken to extremes. Thankfully, there is an answer to the problem of sin, the problem of good things and impulses gone awry. It is the person of Jesus Christ who came to set us free to live in life-giving, liberating relationships with one another and the earth. Jesus came to wake us up from our complacent slumber and to show us how we might participate in God's life more fully. He is able to forgive our sins, all the ways that we've hurt others, ourselves, and the earth, all the ways we've tried to be God rather than worshiping and submitting ourselves to God. This Lent, we'll be exploring how we can live in a more life-giving relationship with this beautiful earth that God has given us to tend and protect for future generations. We'll think more about God's original intent for our earth and lives, and the gardens and outdoor spaces that are important to us. We will explore how Jesus can bring reconciliation to us, others, and the earth, and what God might be calling us to do to preserve this fragile earth, our island home.